Welcome back to our series, Conversations.
And today we're looking forward to our conversation, and I'm going to pose some questions to Douglas.
We're calling this one Pastors, as in church leaders, Pastors and Pastures.
I think that's a bit of a tongue twister, so I'm really glad that Doug started out with it. But this question came about for me when, in light of us talking about Matthew 28 being a lens in which we had viewed Scripture and Christian living, and also in relation to Jesus being the Good Shepherd. My question to Doug is this, is what do you do if you realize you're with an inadequate shepherd or your pasture isn't very good, the grass you're on is not very nourishing?
Okay, well, there's no such thing as a perfect group, a perfect church. So you're asking about if it's really, really bad, or there's abuse, or you're just languishing.
I think I'm asking about when you feel that you're not growing. I don't necessarily... I think there are times in our life when we just feel like, where's my church going? Or where's my small group or what's going on? And I think sometimes we want to change. We'd like to go to a different pasture, or we might want to listen to a different pastor. Is that a sin? Because in the groups I've been a part of, made to feel like you have got to stay in this one place, and this leader, this shepherd, is the right thing. He's God ordained, she's God ordained.
Right, that you don't have an option to look for a different fellowship. I think this ties in really well with last time's conversation on Matthew 28. With Matthew 28 is our only lens, or our primary lens. Then church becomes much more about productivity, numerical growth, than it does about love, about relationships. So I guess we're talking about leaders, the pastors, to use a very popular term these days, and also where they worship, where you are, as God's sheep, the flock.
Maybe another title would be shepherds, because the shepherd has a responsibility to the sheep, and we know Jesus says he's a good shepherd, which reminded us that there can be a bad shepherd.
Right, it goes both ways. In a few minutes, we'll look at Ezekiel 34, where God addresses the shepherds, but also the sheep.
I think it's also that many of us have seen a sort of hierarchy come out of Matthew 28, where you've got the shepherd, the pastor, the leader at the top.
Right.
Passing down instructions.
Sure, I've drawn many diagrams like that. One person helps two more people become a Christian, each of them helps a couple, and then I sketched this discipling pyramid, and of course the main leaders are at the top. But with more and more levels of hierarchy, it easily becomes less personal, and people don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, I think Jesus gives us a very different picture of leadership, because he is one of that shepherd where the sheep are all equal, they're valuable, they're vulnerable, and in need of leadership. And so it helps us a little to have a different picture, perhaps.
One of the scriptures we wanted to share with you is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 14.
We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all.
And often you'll hear people say, well, I'm over this person, or God put me over you, God put me in your life to lead you. And if you've got a kind, compassionate leader, a spiritual person, that could be a wonderful thing. But it's not always that way.
Well, I think it always just means, what does it mean when someone is over you? If they are watching out for you, caring for you,
right,
like a parent with a child, making sure they're safe and protected and nourished, then I don't have a problem with that. And I think that's what we're talking here.
It is what we're talking about, because just a couple chapters before, this is what Paul says. He speaks of himself as a leader, and he uses the image of being a mother, being a gentle father, but also being mother, even being a nurse.
Yeah, being very caring, very kind, very nurturing.
So being over someone in the Lord doesn't mean you issue orders. It's really a position of responsibility and honor, and it's a relational thing. And we're supposed to love each other, not just, it's not all about admonishment. It's admonishment, there's encouragement, there's help, there's patience.
Right, and it being patient with everyone. I think it's because of our modern day society that we are used to this business model with the director or the CEO who's in charge and over everything, and everyone else sort of flows underneath that, and we don't have a team leadership approach.
Well, another one we should probably look at is Hebrews 13. You want to read that, or you want me to read that?
No, you go ahead.
Obey your leaders. This is Hebrews 13, 17. There's a verse 7 talks about the leaders, probably the leaders who founded the church, the previous generation. But this is the generation of leaders who are still living. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I remember being asked back in the 1980s, well, who's that referring to? I mean, is that an assistant Bible talk leader? Is that someone who's your mentor? What's he referring to? And at that point, my thought was that's the church leaders, especially the elders. They're the ones, that's really where the buck stops. Although we all mentor each other, we all lead or influence each other in different ways. But I think this is talking about the main leaders. How do you see it?
I would hope that it is, but I also would hope that we can tie it into being the shepherd at the same time. And I think that as humans, we're very accustomed really to being the shepherd that's in control. That's what we want. That's what we look for. That's what we grow up thinking about, not in spiritual terms, but rather than we're sheep and we're in need of leadership, we're in need of a social structure, we're vulnerable at the same time, and we actually need protection. And that's a little, either how that jives with that passage, or I think it's more how we've interpreted in our modern society that has led us to have this, I'm over or above, or hey, I'm the leader, you do what I say.
Yeah, leading by authority, by position, instead of by relationship and heart. Well, the other passage we mentioned a moment ago was Ezekiel 34. Most Christians are familiar with John 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he speaks of those who are not, the mercenaries, the hired hand. But that's built on a number of Old Testament shepherding passages. Ezekiel 34 is very hard-hitting. It's one that I featured in the recent book, Ezekiel Calling Out the People of God. So maybe we'll just read parts of this. In the beginning, the Lord challenges the shepherds, and then after that, he challenges the sheep. This is what he tells Ezekiel. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Thus says the Lord, O shepherds of Israel who've been feeding yourselves, shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you've not strengthened, the sick you've not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you've ruled them, and so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts.
That is such a tragic image that's given. And yet I do see today, and I know we've experienced that, bad shepherds scatter the sheep. They make you feel unwelcome in a fellowship, and you're not encouraged. It's more a sense of, I'd rather you go somewhere else than be a part of us, because you have a difference of opinion or some different thoughts. And I do see people being scattered. I know that's been the experience of a number of people who've definitely been in touch with us.
It is tragic because this is not the heart of God. God says in this chapter that he himself is the good shepherd and he will seek the sheep. And I think there's even reference here to Jesus. He'll send David. David has been dead for centuries, but he's going to send the Messiah. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered, on day of clouds and thick darkness, and I'll bring them together. I'll feed them with good pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. That's beautiful. I will seek the lost, bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice.
I think that's a key word there, is this sense of justice. It's not in judgment. And I think that the difference between where your pasture is and what you're feeding on and being fed is whether justice is being preached or whether judgment is being preached. And the same thing goes for the sheep. We need to have good food. We need good teaching. That needs to come from leadership. If someone is in that position, the shepherd needs to be teaching.
In this short conversation, we won't dwell too much on Ezekiel 34, but it's an important chapter maybe to look at once we've finished. Take a look at it again, because God he's not quite as hard on the sheep, but he's still very tough. He has some hard words for the sheep themselves, because the selfishness, which is in leadership, it's somehow affected the sheep as well. And so they too need correction.
How do you think it's affected the sheep? What has happened to the sheep as a result?
When things become mechanical, when it's all about production, then people feel used, they feel like cogs, and then unfortunately can treat each other that way, especially if you have a system with lots of goals. And it's not that goals are wrong, but when there's goals and timelines, deadlines, projects and pressure, we can become short with each other. And that happens throughout the body of Christ, don't you
and
think?
And so we, as sheep, we actually have to take some responsibility.
Yes.
But I think we also, it's not wrong to necessarily identify sometimes that I don't have a good shepherd right now in my life. Obviously, we have Jesus in our life, but I'm talking about a shepherd, a pastor, who is not really helping us grow or be united and move as a social group,
which can happen.
See with sheep.
Yeah, of course, Jesus, right. You're right. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13 goes on to say, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the shepherd of shepherds. He's the one we should be like. And no one has a perfect church leadership. And
right.
We've never experienced that, and we've never provided that either.
No, we know we've
not. Despite our best efforts,
right, and
so many mistakes.
And again, the sheep don't ever start out wanting to badly treat the sheep, and likewise, the shepherd probably didn't start out wanting to be a poor shepherd, but with different pressures put on them. And I think this can come down to sometimes paid staff, on churches. They feel tremendous amount of pressure, and we know that how that's led to sometimes people lying just because they've felt so much pressure of being part of the system.
Yeah, and our conversation on speaking the truth in love, it was your thought, I think, that paid staff can sometimes be consumed with, they'll say, I love you, but it's really all about, it's about getting members to support their programs.
Or as I like to think about, their projects. Sometimes they'll say, I've heard it a lot, it's like, what's your dream for God? Because this is the church direction we're going in, and this is our dream for God. Now, God doesn't need a dream from us, but we get tangled up with this goals and visions. And really, sometimes I feel like leaders are using the sheep to measure their success.
So it's not a family so much as it is an army or a company. Yeah. And I do look forward to having a conversation about visions and dreams, because that's... I think that's got us very tangled
up. Yeah, it can get us confused as well. But so what are we going to be looking for, really, in a shepherd? I think that's important that we've got some idea. What do we look for in a shepherd or a pastor that's going to help us grow?
Well, God tells the shepherds that they need to feed the flock, not fleece the flock, not benefit from the flock, but feed them. And we feed each other relationally with love and concern, emotional investment. We feed each other with the Word of God. I mean, God's Word comes and that sustains us.
Right.
And that's what I hear the most when people contact me. They say, I'm dying here. I'm not growing. Sometimes the preaching and teaching is good, but usually it's horrible. I don't want to bring my friends to this.
You hear that. I mostly hear about people, I think that's because you're the teacher, but people come a lot to me because they want to have a safe place. And I think that's a big part of people when they're in community, is that they feel
security,
safe, they feel security, there's a place where you can be vulnerable, where you're not going to be judged, and that you can have transparency and honesty there.
Right.
And I think that idea of really caring, feeling cared for, feeling wanted, that becomes a safe place. If you don't feel like you're wanted in a group, That there's nothing that makes you feel like, oh, well, let me go and be a part of this.
This, you know, back to Matthew 28, this was your thought too, that if it's all about productivity and you're not making disciples, then you feel like you're always in the doghouse. You're being judged. Mm. Maybe you're not even a real Christian, because right. How long has it been since you helped somebody?
Right. So in a way, we're looking at, if you have a feeling that this the leader is watching over the sheep, as in, you know, perhaps micromanaging the sheep, counting them, that's more of the hired hand that we talk about and we read about in John 10.
Yeah.
Versus the leader that Jesus talks about, laying down his life, which I think for us, we're not laying down our life
right.
physically like Jesus did, but the idea of really servant leadership, caring for the sheep, tending for the wounds. And that vast passage we read in Thessalonians talked about, you know, you're sort of binding up the weak. You're right. there for them.
So there's kind of two kinds of oversight. Jesus speaks of the bad shepherds, the mercenaries. But then there are all kinds of oversights. You know, they're failing to, they're missing all kinds of things.
They're missing the point.
But then there's oversight in the positive sense that you're overseeing. And that's the basic meaning of the overseer, right. the episkopos, that you're overseeing, not overlooking, not messing up, but right. you care.
You care. Well, and then I also think about this good shepherd. He needs to take the sheep somewhere where they can eat. But it is the responsibility of a sheep to eat. And I think that's where some of us, me included, we can get lazy because we've got to actually go pick up, you know, proverbially the grass, but, you know, literally take the word of God. We need to eat it. We need to digest it. But it's our, but the shepherd does need to provide
but
a safe place.
If shepherds don't do that, we sheep still need to eat.
Right.
And through the years, more and more people have learned that there are a lot of places you can get some great teaching.
Well, that's the great thing now, really, with the internet. I mean, there is so much available for us online, and we do need to take that responsibility. And I think we need to ask questions. We do need a safe place. But we also need to get out of a pasture if it's not a good one and
right.
find some good nourishment.
And you may have been made to feel that if you changed churches, you went to different fellowship, that, well, you mustn't do that. You need to repent where you are. That's unfortunate.
Well, I think, honestly, it's been portrayed like it's a sin should you change, or you're being disunified with leadership if you go somewhere else. I mean, that's been presented, I think, to many.
Yeah, I mean, some people have been forbidden to move to another city. You know, even their job was transferring them, but nope, you have to give up your job, stay here. You know, that's more in the past, but too much control. There are great resources out there. There are many pastors where we can grow, we can feed.
Yeah, and it can be online, it can be in person. I mean, I know a number of years ago, you and I were both serving. I was doing a lot in the children's ministry, and you were doing a lot with the book ministry and questions and answers and teaching. And we found ourselves not really being able to have communion because we were actually doing other things. And so we started a small group called Sunday Night Suppers, that we invited people who were actually serving a lot on Sunday to come have dinner. It was soup
right.
and salad. And Tasty. This wasn't necessarily sanctioned by the leaders, but maybe you can, if you're not feeling fed, you can come together and have a small fellowship group where you can make sure you break bread and see Jesus.
Funny thing is, I think we shared this in an earlier conversation. We were misrepresented here in Britain as being opposed to small groups. That communion group we were doing, it wasn't sanctioned. We never asked permission. I don't think we needed to. There was another small group we were part of that met less regularly. But there's another one in our own neighborhood that we were part of. But we were portrayed as not being involved in small groups. When we realized things weren't working out as we hoped they would initially here in the UK, we prayed for a couple months. We kept our membership in our US congregation and watched them through Zoom. But then after 2 months, we thought, let's start something. And it was based on that previous idea. Let's have a biblical lesson. It's usually about 20 minutes long. And let's have communion.
And we put it out there online. And perhaps a number of us have regularly got together every Sunday night. These are available, but it was just the time where we could connect. It was during COVID, but right. We've continued those because we're from different parts of the world and not everyone is always in a good shepherding situation or a good pasture. And I think we can, but we have to take responsibility and find one. And I'm sure you can find this. We'll post this.
Well, with the notes to this conversation, well, let me mention the three things. One is that every Sunday, we've been doing this for quite a while, since early 2020, early 2021. And these are Zoom messages, but we're going to post each week. We'll post the latest message. If you like to watch it, these are typically, well, sometimes even shorter than 10 minutes, but 10 to 30, let's say average 20 minutes. And then we take the bread and the wine after, and they're different series. For example, right now we're in a series on John. And so if you want to watch the first John 14 lesson, you can do that. Just click on the link. I mentioned the little book. It's really a pamphlet almost, or a booklet, calling out the people of God. That's Ezekiel, the tough passages in Ezekiel. And then the iFaith series. The two series in iFaith have been completed. One taking us through every book of the Bible, 120 video sermons. And then another one taking us through the Sermon on the Mount, another 26. And so these things are all available, and you can have the links. It's the kind of material you can use if you want to go deeper.
I think this is just, we're just trying to say, there is some green grass out there.
Yeah,
And it is on Doug's website, but it's definitely been very helpful for us during this time when we've been going through a transition. And it doesn't mean to say that we're not looking for pasture and we're looking for a new pastor, a new situation. But I do think it's really helpful in the interim times because we do need to be part of community, because that's where we're like sheep. We're part of we're just social animals just like them, and we need to be together, but we also need to eat at the same time, and there are different menus out there for us.
That's right. And they're not just online sheep. The sheep need to be together.
Right.
So, well, these are some thoughts.
Yes, but I do think this is just helpful because I think I've heard so often that, you know, if there's an issue, you're the problem, rather than sometimes being able to ask questions of leadership. And I think that's a good thing, is what's the response? Maybe you're trying to say, where am I? What sort of shepherd am I under right now? And is it, what's the response if you bring something to the attention of a staff person or a church person or an evangelist or an elder, is it welcomed and is it taken to heart that, hey, some of us need a little bit more help in this area. We need some practicals, or we need some situations that will really lead to us doing well, growing, being productive as Christians.
And by the way, I don't think it's wrong to ask the leaders, whoever the ones are who are doing most of the teaching and preaching, what is the plan for teaching us all the Bible? Where are we heading here? Because I know in some situations it's very confusing. What is the plan? And especially when the sermons are light and just the 3 points, rah-rah messages, right. Shouldn't we be able to talk to the ones who are doing the messages and ask for more, right, or ask for clarity?
Yes, and I think that it's so important that we really are going through the Bible, not just through passages that will help somebody else become a Christian, which has become the thrust. It's all about growing and baptisms. And, after a while, that doesn't always feed us. So that's one of the things I think it is just being honest about what is going on. And if you feel like you're not growing, then take the responsibility and just jump on. Join us on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah,
we'd love to have you. And it's just encouraging. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. And I think take responsibility as a sheep to say, I can feed myself right now. Maybe I'm staying in my situation. I'm not happy with it. But at least start getting some nutrition so you can get strengthened.
And by the way, if you do want to join us, again, the link is in the notes here. You'll get that. We do that at 7 o'clock. That's British time. So normally that's 5 hours ahead of East Coast U.S. time. So New York would be 2 p.m. while we're at 7 p.m. And our meeting goes probably half an hour or so. We have communion, and then after that, if people want to stick around and talk and have questions, we have a bit of a social interaction, a little fellowship.
Or else take one of the recordings, which takes out the social interaction if it's not live and it's recorded. But we'd love to have you. I know it's been very helpful for me the last couple of years to find a different kind of pasture, but at the same time, we are looking for pastors as well.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's it for now.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.